Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, this is Captain Poodle speaking. Are you ready to find love?
Yes, ahoy, matey.
Love.
Do-do-do-do.
Exciting and new. Go online. They're catfishing you.
Shocker.
Fiance.
Soon you'll be flying to parts unknown.
90-day Beyonce.
Marrying someone you've only met on your phone.
Be they French or Chinese, a brand new K-1 visa's the key.
Ooh, the key to what, Poodle?
To love.
It's reality, yes, let's love.
Ooh, y'all, we're here.
After much delay.
Y'all, it's been a very stormy day in Oklahoma. So the power's been going out and then flickering. We're okay. Nobody had to get in a twister tunnel or the shelter or anything like that. Everybody's okay, but it was one of those days where it's humid, kind of gross.
Yeah, we just
have pop up storms. You know what I mean?
A twister tunnel?
Well, yeah, the cellar. Yeah. That's what I called them as a kid. I was like, Mama, it's a twister tunnel. She said, it's a cellar. That's what I called it. It's a storm cellar. Storm cellar, yeah. So, but yeah.
I was going to say, that is not an acceptable term. Twister tunnel?
It's just a family thing. And then, yeah, it started up in Satterwhite, and then it came all the way down.
No one cares what happened.
It came down to Post Oak, and then it finally kind of fizzled out at the border around Leon.
No one is an amateur storm chaser listening.
I'm just saying, no, my cousin was out in Wapanucka, and he told me he could see
Stop!
The cloud.
That is not a town name. You're just trying to piss me off by listing town names.
I'm just saying, it's real places that I don't know. Anyway,
it infuriates me, these town names. Wapanucka.
It's a town.
I'm sure it is. And it almost seems, and I'm sure these are native words.
Post Oak is beautiful.
Coming out of rube mouths are almost insulting.
Well.
Anyway. Yo, this is Reality Gaze.
This is Reality Gaze, everybody.
This is Happily Ever After, episode 98. That's how it feels like how long this season has been.
Or season 6, episode 12, Bubble Baths and Family
Wraths. Wow.
Family Wraths.
This is the person naming this episode is like the fourth string. What is Family Wraths? I guess that's Family Libby.
Yeah. Let's be honest. Lalu does a better job. Oh, and Intimate Portraiters. They're watching us right now on video. Ooh, Poodle. We're being watched on video.
I don't tell me that because then I'll try to pull up my titty again. I don't think I've ever shown my nipple, just
Please
my
don't
shoulders.
Do. Oh,
my
no.
creamy, creamy alabaster shoulders. If I look sweaty, y'all, I was on my Peloton earlier.
I think I pressed the video button, did I?
No.
We should check, y'all. We'll be right back.
So we were recording.
We were recording video. Who knew? We didn't.
Oh God, I don't know if it's ever going to get better than this.
I don't think it's ever going to get.
That's what keeps me up at night. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if we can handle that. We need a tech person.
We don't. We say that, but we don't right now.
I have to tell you, you might enjoy this. I've been talking to a gentleman who is very tech savvy.
Oh.
I don't know. We'll have to see if it'll work.
Do not get my hopes up.
I haven't even really met him yet. He's doing this thing where he likes to talk on the phone.
When you say met him, you've seen his dick?
Oh, yeah. Come on. That's not even a question. That's gay handshakes, y'all.
Hi, how you doing?
Hopefully he doesn't listen to this. Because I did tell him I had a podcast. Maybe I haven't told him the name of it.
But he had a nice dick?
Yeah.
All right.
We haven't gotten together yet because...
You don't know what his job is? Is it tech? Is it a tech job?
I'm uncomfortable talking way too much about this. I don't even know this person.
Don't get my hopes up about a tech person and then you come back and say...
I like it how you think that I know I should list his fucking resume right now.
I know, but if you come back to me and say, well, he works on like micros for restaurants, I'm going to be furious.
Micros,
that's the waiter software. You do the things on micros.
Oh, I haven't been a server for so long that I don't even know. We never have that.
If you say that he works on cash registers for Gap, I'm going to be furious because that does nothing for us.
I think he's in general a techie-ishy person.
Okay. Well, here's to hoping, everybody.
Yeah, I'll probably fuck it up. don't get your hopes up.
Not get my hopes up. Y'all should get your hopes up, though, because...
New show alert.
If you for some reason like us, I don't know why you do, we've got a lot more of us coming to you. So better bend over and get ready.
I got a whole heap and help and a poodle coming right in your face.
You got to shit, Sheryl Sandberg this shit. You got to lean in and bend over.
Well, you're riding that one.
Yeah, I am.
Don't say any more this week. I can only hear.
I said it once this week. What?
But no, it's maybe three times in the last week.
I said it twice. Gary, roll that tape.
Someone's real proud of themselves for a Sheryl Sandberg con.
Yeah.
But maybe
no more creamy shoulders in for the month.
No, people love that.
Exactly. This is what I'm dealing with.
I haven't done it in a while.
You just did it.
That's what I'm saying. I just did it. Y'all, we're doing a new show. I know. We're going to now cover every show on television.
That's our goal.
We're doing an ad for it. And we thought, why shouldn't we? We should go ahead and just.
Well, kind of that alerted us to it.
Yeah.
We're doing that. And then so transparency alert. I feel like we're like saying, you know, CNN is owned by the Time Warner Network or shit that they say mm-hmm. like that. So they did pay us for an ad. They did not pay us to recap the show.
They did not. No.
But the show is called what, Poodle?
F-Boy Island. And that stands for Fuck Boy.
It's called Fuck Boy Out, and it's with Nikki Glaser, who's one of my favorite comedians.
Glaser.
I say her name wrong all the time, but I love her. She's hilarious. I've seen her in stand-up shows. Like,
and my friend, Nikki Glaser's.
I didn't say my favorite friend. I said one of my favorite comedians.
I'm just laughing you say, I like her, and you get their name wrong.
I say your name wrong half the time.
It's true. But you know, you understand that's insulting to some people.
I'm trying. Trying. I did meet her once when I was doing stand-up. She ended up like, every once in a while, y'all, we would have, and I never had this, really. I had her and who else? Like, every once when you're doing stand-up and you're just doing like a shitty little show, somebody famous in LA somebody famous will just jump up. They'll say, hey, this comedian's going to go on. And then you have to sit there while fucking Chris Rock is jumping on set trying out his new stuff. There was somebody, a man.
Did that happen to you? Not Chris Rock.
Not Chris Rock, but somebody really famous jumped in on one of my shows and they did a fucking 20-minute set.
Oh, wow.
And some of my people had to leave because they all had to be at work. Because, of course, this is a stand-up show on Tuesday night. Who was
that? You have to beg your friends to come see.
It was somebody like really pretty famous in like.
This
is
helpful. Helpful.
But another time it was Nikki. And then another time I did a show and Whitney Cummings jumped in. And she
was great. Cool.
She was great too. So I think
I stopped going to them after you were the only one who was funny.
You know
and
what?
When I say you were funny, I'm being kind.
Well, mainly because Poodle and I have the same humor, but y'all did a lot of bad stand-up shows.
There's nothing worse than bad stand-up comedy.
I say bad improv. Sorry.
You're right. You know what? You're right. But I will give it to you. I think you were better than most of the people that were in your classes.
Oftentimes because
the nights you were in.
I'm an okay improver. But when stand-up comedy, I learned that I did much better taking the jokes that people just did that weren't good. And I just improvised off of their jokes and made fun of them. And then people laughed at it. And they thought that it was great. I was doing it off the cuff. I don't think that's why I got asked back.
I was going to say, I don't know if that's great with your other fellow comedians.
I think that's why my stand-up comedy career was short-lived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, y'all. So we're going to do F-Boy Island. Can you tell us about the concept? You were going to, and then you got off on Nikki Glaser somewhere. So I'm trying to lead you back.
Fuckboy Island.
I'm gonna lead you back. Sorry, I'm done.
So, okay. It's actually pretty good. It's kind of this whole dating. It reminds me of that show, Poodle, and I've talked about that horrible show for gay progressive or gay rights movement called Boy Meets Boy. But it is.
You said what?
It is like Boy Meets Boy. Fuckboy Island. There's 24 guys that are all hot. 12 of them are self-proclaimed
nice guys,
fuck boys, or nice guys.
And then there's and then 12 the fuck boys.
Fuck boys that are like, I'm not here to find love. I just want to fuck. And then there's three
women.
So it's not one. There's three women that are all looking for love, and they have to suss out these relationships. And then there's money involved. I don't know how they win money.
The fuck boys win money if the women choose them.
I
think the nice guys get the woman.
So there you go, y'all. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be a good show. The previews look fun.
I think it's the concept is it's supposed to take a feminist slant on things.
And a more
affirming, women affirming, which is severely lacking in a lot of reality television.
For sure.
Yeah. Kind of like if you watch Too Hot to Handle and you didn't feel a little sick, with the misogyny or even Bachelor, and you kind of start to feel gross.
I think it's definitely going to be making fun of Too Hot to Handle, but it's specifically Love Island. And I think it's going to be making fun of Bachelor, which I'm here for. So anyway, we're excited about that. There's going to be, it's dropping like three episodes.
The 29th,
and then more episodes after that.
Yeah. So it's confirmed that they're dropping three with the first
drop. I did see that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Some other announcements we've got is our charity for this month in the Sissy Squad. You guys join our Facebook group, the Sissy Squad. We have fun in there.
And
it is called the Fisher House Foundation. And the Fisher House Foundation is responsible for kind of housing military families while there's former military, or I think even active military, are having medical procedures or when basically they're helping the families. They're going to the families first.
Be there. I have to say too, and I know, but we just haven't raised as much money for it, honestly, as I've wanted to. I think we're like at $600.
Yeah, but it's the middle of the month and things do pick up.
I know, but I just said, if you think about it, say, hey, Siri, remind you, even if you can only give a dollar, y'all, that all adds up. And if you can't right now, we understand.
Your Siri just clicked on.
Yeah, because it hurt me. But if you can, wonderful. We appreciate it. The organization even reached out to us and said, thank you so much for doing this. And I've had even a couple of sissies that have said, oh my God, I can't believe you're doing this charity. They housed my family or they housed my
cousins.
A lot
of people have come back and said that. Yeah.
So anyway, we're really proud to help them out.
And
what's next, Poodle?
The next announcement
you're just
is
telling me
there's a goddamn car alarm going off.
Yeah, I hear that.
So fucking loud. And I'm doing everything not to not to go like throw myself through a window right now.
Well, God bless.
You guys remember at my old apartment how loud things were? This apartment is very quiet, but occasionally there'll be something loud, and it bothers me even more because it's just not normal.
He's just one apartment away from a bubble under the ocean, everyone. A bubble under the
Shut
ocean.
Up! Anyway, the other announcement we have...
I don't know. What is it?
Y'all...
What is it?
Mike's dick pic is out there.
Oh, no.
Mike's jerk off pic is out, or jerk off video is out there.
Mike from Mike and Natalie.
I have seen it. Oh, I have seen it. I do not recommend. First of all, I don't think I ever speculated on Mike's penis size. I don't think I ever wanted to. Did I?
Maybe not. I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I didn't. I always maybe. Said it was. I think I said it might be girthy, but that was it.
Who cares?
It's not spectacular. Anyway, y'all, that car alarm is still going on.
We can't hear it. If it makes you feel better, good. I can't hear
that
it.
That does. You told me you could hear it. Can you hear
I
it?
I just want you to get on with the show. I can hear it very faintly.
Oh, God. Nothing is, it's not like the cricket.
Boy, I know. It's not like the cricket.
So y'all go back to last year's shows. For about 4 weeks, there was a motherfucking cricket on the side of my apartment building that just sang and sang throughout the show.
Remember there was one sister who thought it was stuck in her car? tore car apart looking for it as a cricket. Anyway.
It's hard doing shows when you're poor.
So talk about
the
this
dick
cricket.
Pic is out there. It's nothing substantial. It's not that it's small. I hate saying dicks are small, because the average male penis is not even really that big.
All dicks are beautiful.
Kind of. Some are just more better than others.
We're dick positive here.
You're not. You're a fucking size queen to the worst power.
Maybe.
You don't get out of bed for anything bigger than a 7-incher.
Well, I have to stretch. It takes a long time.
It's awful. There's also dirty talk going on, and he refers to himself as daddy.
Okay.
And also says something about, you want me to put this in your tight pussy, and you will... Oh. Everything will shrivel when you hear him say it.
I think someone sent it to both of us. Is that what it was?
Yep.
Maybe I won't look. Maybe I won't look. You kind of do that for me.
You don't have to.
Y'all, it's like Poodle, in this version of SVU, Poodle's going to always look at the bodies.
Oof, that's it. That's her. Yeah, that's her.
That's her. Oof. Now, here's a question.
And then I lose my lunch.
Was he masturbating with butter?
You know, to be honest, it looked dry to me.
Oh,
which does
no.
seem quite chafing.
Some people like a dry rub.
Not me.
I love it. I love it on my barbecue.
Give me
not
all
my penis.
The lube. Lube is your friend, y'all.
Just like what's her name says on Foodie Call with Sinjin Tania.
Tania.
Lube. And you know what? That reminds me, y'all. If you go to the merch store, all the proceeds of the merch store go to our charity for
Fisher
the
House
as well.
Foundation this
so
month.
You can get your own Live Laugh Lube pillow. Y'all, the car alarm is off. Poodle's happy.
I was about to be apoplectic. I was about just to. I can't handle sustained sounds like that. They feel personal to me, and it feels I get very angry.
I think that's it. Are you ready to jump in?
I'm ready to jump in with both feet.
Angela and Michael.
God.
It's a long, settle in, y'all. It's a long one.
Settle in. I was kind of shocked this went the way it did, but I
wasn't.
Well, You're right. I was shocked and I wasn't shocked. I was shocked how fast it went. How quickly we changed.
I can see that. Yeah, I changed very quickly.
So anyway, y'all, we've already established these two don't need to be together.
They don't need to be together.
I think, honestly,
I feel like we're getting played at this point.
Me too. That is precisely why I'm tired of it. It's precisely why it doesn't have a lot of stakes for me.
It feels all just fakery for the cameras when these two people clearly aren't going to be together.
And it's
That's
hard for me. There's a lot of outrage online about her, and I agree with it, but it's hard for me to kind of like take that on because I think it's all fake. I think she's playing for the camera. And then when they kind of, spoiler alert, kind of got back together, I was like, this is all fake. She's going to say they'll break up next week and then they'll be together by the end of the season for the tell-all. It's like a bad fourth grade crush, y'all.
The only thing is what's, I guess, maybe good about it, or from the perspective of this channel was once called the Learning Channel, is maybe people learn what the cycle of abuse is in an abusive relationship because it's so...
Right.
Is in the way she talks to him and the way he apologizes and then she takes him back and then it's just gross. It's just, like you've said, it's just the same beat over
it's the
and
same
over,
beat over, and
over
and over again.
And over and over.
So Angela, she's telling her kids to get back to their laptops because break's over. And they are, she needs to talk to Michael because Psychic Tracy is going to help.
Psychic Tracy.
Psychic Tracy. I wonder if that's on her business cards.
I guarantee you it's on her business cards.
So Psychic Tracy.
I think that's with her comment or her contract with TLC is that she's only referred as Psychic Tracy.
I've got to say, I've never heard of a psychic named Tracy. Just, who's Tracy?
Who's Tracy?
I miss Lindsay. I wasn't as big a fan of her while we were watching the show, but I miss her now that she's not here.
I do think about
her. I miss her being activated.
I
think about Carl a lot. A lot of times when I'm by myself in an interior room.
We need to move on. So the kids go back in the house to do their learning. And so it's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks since Michael and Angela broke up. So they're doing this reading. And so Angela says, I think Tracy can uncover why we're having these problems. And I was like,
it doesn't take a psychic.
a second grader can tell, you know, mommy, I know why they fight. She's mean and he's a doormat.
Yeah. Number one, you have trust issues and you need to control every aspect of, because normal, what I would call relationships on equal footing don't work for you. So you have to micromanage and have, and basically wallop your partner with abuse. And she even says later, I want Michael to chase me. I want me to break up with them and chase me.
So
she is the girl on the playground who would smack you in the face with her fist, and then you would chase her, and she was giving you attention that way.
And she actually liked you. It's totally classic codependency on her part, and also someone who's addicted to the drama.
Yeah.
She's just always addicted to drama. And
right.
So, and also, y'all, Tracy is not a psychic. Angela totally told Tracy what to say, because if Tracy was a real psychic, she would tell Michael to run.
Well, even more than that, by the way, you guys, Psychic Tracy is dressed like an actual fortune teller.
Yeah.
In like from Central Casting.
And y'all, and in like the kind of like headband with like
the gold coins.
So it's like totally appropriating like gypsy culture when she looks
Roma.
Very.
We don't say gypsy anymore.
Roma. Is that what we say now? Okay.
Yep.
Look at that learning. Roma culture.
Gypsy is a derogatory term.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I see. Yep. Y'all. So don't come at us because I'm learning too. There you Roma.
Don't say what that's what we say now. I know you're saying me and you, but it sounds like you're saying what people say at large.
Well, people should say Roma though,
yes.
Right? Okay. Well, she's wearing a Roma headscarf with the coins and she looks
white as fuck. It's not even that. I think you are correct in using the term gypsy because that's what we see it as. But I'm saying we just don't say that word.
Again.
But that it's not to say that Roma people wore those is not accurate. It's a cartoon version of a fortune teller.
Yes. Like what you would see in a fucking movie is what she
yes.
Like. That's what I'm
so
trying to say.
So that's what Psychic Tracy is going toward.
Yeah.
And Michael agrees to this, which I think is pretty surprising.
And Angela's even surprised. Maybe he wants to make things right between us.
Which I don't know what. So what my question for you is, what does Angela, she says, I want him to make things right. What does she want out of this?
To be
what
right.
What could this psychic. Yes, that's what, obviously. But I'm just saying, what does she want him to say?
That she's right. I really think that she wants, well, she wants him to do what he does later. She wants him to apologize.
Right.
And say it's all his fault, which is his way of saying she's right.
Yeah, it just.
That's what she wants. She wants, and on a deeper level, she wants him to be. Which is why this feels very, and I just use this word because it's true. It does feel, I think it's fake, but also feels very abusive. And then she wants him to feel, she wants to have the power in the relationship. And because what this is all, why Angela is so upset is she has no power over him.
Exactly.
Right now. And he's calling her out and saying what you're doing is ridiculous. And he's laughing because what she's saying is so stupid and childish and not grounded in fact at all. And he's
you
laughing.
You mean last episode when he's laughing.
Yeah. But she brings that up like he's done it several times. He's laughing and going, oh my God, this is ridiculous. And she's taking that as an assault.
It's
anyway.
But he says, so she's asking her angel cards, y'all. These look like they were, what is that? If you're watching the Intimate Portrait right now, someone's just put on their fortune teller.
Hello, Michael. Let me grab your card for you, Michael.
I'm not sure she's British or South African.
I couldn't tell, but she has a weird accent.
So
that's why I'm purposely doing it weird. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's why.
That's
yeah.
It. So she grabs his card and she's like, your first card, Michael. You need to pay attention to Angela and be with her more.
I wasn't paid extra by Angela to say this or production.
Or it won't walk. It won't. Angela, what did you write on my hand? Oh, work. It won't work. That's what she need to do.
It won't walk.
It won't walk. Michael, you need to be there for your wife.
Yo,
you need to be there for her.
She got it's these like angel cards out of like the Sky Mall catalog or something. It's terrible.
That is way too nice of a reputable organization for you to
say. Or maybe like a you know what it looks like? They look like hospital gift shop cards. Or
hospital gift shops. Maybe the Spirit Airlines magazine.
Or drugstore cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's you know how like drugstores have all kinds of angel stuff?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the next thing she says, you need to be here for. Yeah, it sounds like she's not a psychic. She's just a weird therapist who screams stuff at Michael.
Michael, ooh, this card says that you need to not think of Angela as a business. You need to be. It's like you're thinking of material things, like something that's green with a green call. What did you write on my hand, Angela? Oh, green card. That's it. It's so fucking scripted.
It's
and
awful.
Fake and horrible. And it's just there to shame Michael and make Michael feel stupid.
Then she says, but I forgave her. And then she freaks out because she's like, no, you forgave me. And because, again, you're exactly right when you said she doesn't like it because she doesn't have power right now. And all of the relationship, their relationship has been built on her having power over him and her because she has something he desperately wants, masquerading that he does want to come to America. And so, and she knows at a cellular level that he wants that more than anything else. And she has somehow changed that into that, that he loves her. So it's a, y'all, these relationships are disasters. They will not work.
They won't work at all.
Because there's no equanimity here. There's no sense of Michael is going to want to, he is subverting, quote unquote, everything he's trying to be as an African man, as he says. He's subverting all of that. So he's going to feel like crap. They can't find anything in the middle because Angela's always going to get this weird ultra patriotic jingoism about that she's American and that he should remember that and he should respect her Americanism if he wants to get a piece of the best country in the world, quote unquote. So when I said that, you still got the thing in your head.
Michael, your last card says, ooh, this is a good one. Blimey. It says that, ooh, you see these people around you. There's people around you. Means maybe that's some.
They sound kind of goofy.
They sound goofy. Look, it's like, it says Angela needs to defunct her position.
I think that's defend, Psychic Tracy.
Oh, sorry, I wrote that on my index finger. Yeah, she needs to defend her position.
And he says...
that's when he says, I need more space. Very eloquently.
And
I think very normal.
Well, I think... He talks about this later, and he thinks they didn't understand him, what he was talking about.
They didn't.
He needed more space in the relationship. He needed more. He needed to take up more space in their relationship. He needed to
take up more space in there, and also his opinion, his
right,
his needed to take up more space. I also think he could have been asking for more space to even explain himself.
Exactly.
I need time.
But
as soon as Angela heard the word space, she did what Angela always does.
She thought she was being abandoned.
She hears one word. She freaks out. She bulldozes over him and doesn't listen to him anymore.
Yeah. And he says, that's when she says what I've said before. I want a man who's going to chase me. That's all it is, y'all. This is that girl on the playground.
It's terrible, terrible, terrible behavior. And it's...
Or a boy who hits a girl, I guess. But that's shitty. But didn't you have a girl who hit you and wanted you to chase her?
Yeah. Haverty Reed. Oh, Felicia. What was her name? Felicia. Was it? Oh, Felicia Tuttle. Oh, and then Jamie Lee.
Boy, someone was the Hugh Hefner of their class.
Well, they all hit me. I was friends with all the girls. Jamie Lee would hit me, and now she's actually goes by Jamie.
Good for her.
Which is, she beat up all the boys when she was a kid anyway.
So the next thing is Angela saying, is there still hope? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Because this is how you know how pat their storyline is. Every segment is buttoned by Angela giving this kind of barometric reading of where their relationship is. And it is old style reality show. And this is like the old style, like I'm trying to think who would do
this. This is like Days of Our Lives of reality. It's like a soap opera in that nothing really happens. You just
nothing
inch
happens.
Along.
Yeah.
Nothing happens. Does Michael... Psychic Tracy, does he want to come here? What's your card say? Does he want to come here just for a green card, Psychic Tracy?
I think that's why I'm annoyed that this storyline is still being covered. I think Angela still gets ratings for them. Am I upset and annoyed because of how abusive Angela is? Yes. Am I more annoyed and about the storyline because it goes fucking nowhere? Even more so. I think that's how done. I feel about it.
We're not done. Which, by the way, Psychic Tracy says, oh, I got to believe, caught Angela. What do you believe in your
what
gut?
What do you believe, Angela?
So that kind of Michael's doing laundry, and Michael's in Nigeria, and we get a little bit of Michael saying, like, he gets nervous that he's going to lose her forever, and he's getting really scared right now. And so Michael calls her, and she just immediately, and I wrote, she's so addicted to the drama. She just answered the phone and says, I don't know why you're calling me, Michael.
Yep.
Now, look, whenever he's calling her this time, she looks very different from when they had the Psychic Tracy call. She has lost, at this point, and she even said 70 pounds at this point. So it's almost, this is, sorry, y'all, this is going to be inside baseball.
No, but you're right. And I was going to talk about this
you
too.
You know what this tells me? It tells me
this was
recorded
recreated.
Everything. And they're like, hey, we need to record this section so that way you guys get back together. So then you can break up again because we've got nothing for you because it's the same storyline.
No, I feel like this was recreated at a different time.
Yeah, it was done after all this was filmed.
Exactly.
Because Angela looks totally different.
She looks different. And then the whole thing, what also looked different, she even looks even more different in the bathtub.
Because I actually think she looked slimmer in the second video.
She does. And that's what I'm saying.
And was bigger in the bathtub.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You said that better than I did.
Continuity is a big thing in production, y'all.
Well, I think this show, especially, it's COVID, and so not everything is going to happen.
Yeah.
They're running on shoestring budgets, even though it's a huge show.
Y'all, 90 Day Fiancé costs $1.76 to make.
And my nose won't stop itching.
Oh, no.
Sorry, it's okay. So first thing is, he apologizes. He completely folds because he knows, and it's so sad to watch this. He knows that is the only
way he'll get to America.
And it is the only way we can go to a softer Angela. It's almost like you have to like throw her a carcass of a gazelle and have her go. And then she's a little pacified. Or like me, if I haven't had sex in a while, you give me a starter dick and I'm a lot better the next time.
That was a visual I didn't need. But it is actually what it is most like to me. It's like dogs. Well, y'all, if you look at human dog behavior, it's just so much of our own behavior that's instinctual is very similar. It's like when a dog gets on its back and rolls over and submits to another dominant dog. And then the dominant dog is fine because they know the dog.
It's all fine. Yeah. And it is very instinctual. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she said,
poodle. Do that too, by the way. Just rolled
and
right
on. I lay
back.
On my back, and then while the other dog thinks it's all fine, I jump on the dog's back.
I'm like, poodle, stop panting.
So she then takes a really interesting turn and defends her surgery, saying she had to get the surgery because she would have died.
That wasn't
this is
said.
A different. This is a different thing than we've ever heard. I'm not saying it's wrong or right, but nothing's been said about this.
She says she's mentioned, quote unquote, her health, but it's always like the fifth thing she mentions health.
Mm-hmm.
When the first thing she mentions sexy grandma, meemaw. All that kind of stuff. Yeah, I wrote that too. I went, well, this is new information.
I know this is
that
new.
You couldn't breathe that and, you like.
And you guys, when you start coming up with new information in arguments, it's desperation.
Because I don't think she laid this out to Michael. If she did, we didn't see it.
Yeah. So she says, then she starts saying generic things like, well, Michael, after he's apologized over and over again, well, Michael, I believe in deeds. You have to step up to the plate, Michael. And
Michael says, it's hard for me to understand this over the phone.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand what he's trying to say, and he doesn't say, but he won't say this because Angela will freak out. I think what he wants to say is, you're not communicating this well. Now, did Michael get pissed and ghost her? Yeah, but because she treats him like an asshole.
Right. I think he apologized for not, because he said, I was upset and because of the surgery, and that you didn't ask for my opinion in it. And all this could have been rectified. So much of this is all made up drama. So of course it's not going to be rectified. We have to watch it fester. And she said, you haven't told me I look good or anything. And then he just immediately starts telling her, and that's not good enough either. So
it is weird. You know, what is not compelling, but something that is, you know, we're saying that this is made of drama, and I think it is. However, I do think that Angela and Michael did love each other. I don't know if they do now. So it's interesting that the seed of hurt and pain, where this all comes from Angela, even though she's acting and making money off of it and becoming famous from it.
Yeah.
There's that seed of just sad truth in her.
I agree
and
with that.
There is something that's, I don't want to use the word faceted, but voyeuristic and addicting to watch that somebody can put that out there.
It's not for me. But
well, I'm a therapist. We're a voyeur.
I get
I'm
it.
I'm nosy as fuck.
You know, shit. I get it, but I really don't like watching it. Every time he tries to kind of even say things like, baby, you're my queen. No, I am my queen. And it's just like, just let meet him.
I don't
halfway.
Care about cultural differences, Michael. You don't treat people like that.
We know you do not care.
We guess. And Michael says, I think this is the wrong time for me to put my foot down. And I wrote, and this is a cycle of abuse.
So, you guys, in the next scene.
We're not done, y'all.
No.
We're not done.
They gave us three squares of Angela and Michael this episode, you guys. So she has taken a bath, and she is ready to make up with Michael. And we still think
she's
that this
perfume. That I don't know this, why before she takes a bath.
Thank you. I agree. I think that's makes her feel special.
Poodle.
You've told me you wear cologne because you feel better.
Oh, I do, but not before I take a bath to wash it off.
That's true.
Poodle, what was the song that was playing while Angela was getting ready?
I did not hear it. I honestly.
It was the most basic, cheapest, royalty-free version.
Oh.
Of like
Sade or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It was, yeah, just like.
They say love is a Bible.
Yeah.
That you
like,
read in the morning.
It's not Sade. I Googled it. I Shazammed it. It's not Sade.
They say love is a Bible that you read in the morning.
It's called. The song is called Newspaper Love. Which makes no sense. And it's by Saleh. Not Sade. It's just spelled Sally with an accent over the Y.
Oh, Saleh. Saleh. Yeah.
Saleh.
I know her. She's great.
She is. She looks like she's a white woman in a crafting group in Minnesota.
Good for her. It's good for her to get work. So she's taking a bath, and she's like, I'm going to show him my new body. So I'm, and this I thought was the most interesting part of the segment. And I don't know why they didn't lead with it. Well, I do know because we had to see the crazy psychic part, but I should say, but, and we still
think. No, that psychic's crazy.
Yeah. We still think, you guys, this is why this segment felt weird, is that second section happened after the bath.
Yeah,
that they had to recreate. So he's, she's like, it's time for us to reconnect sexually. I'm going to show him my new body. And I wrote, does she have baby's breath flowers in her
she
hair?
Has baby breath flowers in her hair.
It looks like she's been rolling around like in on top of a funeral arrangement. So weird.
Been there.
So she.
How many of you have sex in a graveyard?
No, that's weird.
I haven't either.
Don't do that. Don't disturb the dead that way.
That was a thing in high school. A lot of people would go make out in the grave.
No,
not
for me.
In high school?
No. We did not. No, that was not something we did.
Oh, wow. I didn't either.
With girls.
You know what?
And you pretended they were Brad Pitt.
Yeah. I just thought,
don't picture Brad their boobies.
Pitt, he's going to come out of behind a grave like Brad Pitt with long hair from Interview of a Vampire any moment. I just know it.
Y'all, so anyway, she's like, our phone sex is normally more teasing. I was like,
well, she was saying, yeah, they tease that it's just not about, like, they're basically not going to jack off. They're just like, Michael shakes his dick and that's good for him.
And she does, you guys. She shows her boobs and he, you can tell he's disappointed. They're not as big as they were.
Okay. You can't sugarcoat the reaction. Y'all, she says, he kind of, I've been watching, what is it? It's a show about, it's on Netflix. It's a show about a new Egyptian tomb that they've discovered, like a new city that they've discovered.
I watch our shows.
Every time they show one of the archaeologists who's like scraping something off in the sand and they're just kind of looking at it like, what is this? What is this thing I see before me? Could it be a hammer? Could it be a goblet that gave water and sustenance to a mother's child? Or is it a tit? And that's how Michael's face looked.
He was trying to take it in and not it was, really...
It wasn't the best reaction. I would have been really upset by it. Ironically, he says, it's fine. It's fine.
That's all she needed to hear.
After all that, that's what Angela... She said, I'm glad he doesn't bullshit me. Because here's the deal. Angela, if you compliment her too much, she doesn't trust anyone. It. And she thinks you're lying.
Because
she doesn't think she's beautiful.
Yeah.
She doesn't think she's lovable. So if you tell her she's beautiful and you tell her that... you love her more than anything in the world, she's going to think you're lying to her.
In a way, she needs to be treated with disrespect.
She does need to be treated with disrespect.
Yeah, and so, and that's the weird part here, you guys.
No, it's not. That's the feeling of normal, is being treated with disrespect.
And she has to lean into it. And the more she says, Michael, why you treat me like this? You treat me like that. That is porn for her. That is that kind of... I'm put upon torture porn that she has to keep doing it.
I guarantee you that I wouldn't be surprised if when she was younger, Angela's parents neglected her.
Yep. I totally agree with you.
She was never seen. She never felt like she was in the room. So this gives her that feeling that she's in the room.
Right. So the next thing he does say, she said, do a strip dance for mama. Pop your penis.
I said it.
Got crazy, y'all. And she says, my clitoris. She says it like I did. My clitoris is on fire.
Is on fire. Again, I went, and Poodle said that.
My clitoris is on fire. And I can really wave that American flag. And you had to make it more disgustingly nationalistic.
Yes.
Dun, wow. Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Kill me.
It wasn't great.
She really found a way to turn my stomach at the end of this section. Besides the baby breath in her hair.
Okay, let's take a pause for a little commercial break. Y'all get yourself some Alka-Seltzer, and we'll be right back to talk about Jovi Child and Yada.
We're going to go do you a Cranium of Christmas.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but... that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle? or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No, the doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with her ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Cough!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/realitygaze.
That's MeUndies.com/realitygaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com /realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners. We know you get tired of waiting. Reality Gaze is coming to you. So no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies. Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Christmas! He went to Ukrainian Christmas show. We'll sing the song of the Ukrainian bell carol. It goes, Christmas time is here. Yara's acting queer. Jovi is a drunk. Gwen wants to spunk. That makes no sense.
What went south quickly? Very, very quickly, everybody.
And smoky fish.
Yeah, we're sorry for that, everyone.
Everyone's getting their wish. Milo's goes to bed. Yara is no more fun, and Jody's drunk. Drunk.
Wait, that song is that Mama's tune?
Mama's tune. Oh, tell everyone about what you saw a place.
Oh, did you die?
I died and was reborn.
There's a
like a phoenix.
I think it's a daycare called Mama and Meemaw's Place. So I guess it's just two grandmas caring for kids in Ardmore, Oklahoma, and it's the it. I don't think I'd take my kid there.
Mama's tune.
But I did it. I did an Instagram story in our Facebook group and on, I think I did it on our Instagram as
you did.
Well.
Yeah.
And people really enjoyed it.
Mama's tune.
Mama's tune.
Y'all, it's Ukrainian Christmas time, which is usually celebrated after Christmas. A lot of
religions do.
Eastern Europeans do that. Usually with Epiphany, which is the festival of which is the wise men, when the wise men visited Jesus and gave him gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
And myrrh.
And myrrh.
And myrrh.
Like it's a rap. And myrrh.
Myrrh.
And frankincense and myrrh.
And they gave him a penchant for long robes, judging people. And
those were three queens. The three wise queens.
Yeah, the three wise men fucked on the way.
Joey's like, it was really hard for me to get all this stuff. Like, I had to buy like smoked fish and like caviar and like all kinds of stuff. I didn't know what the name of it was. And
it's really cute that Yara's doing this, I think.
Well, she's trying to find some. She's like, this is for Mila. I want her to know what a Ukrainian Christmas is like.
I shouldn't say the word cute because I don't want to sound like, oh, that's cute. I mean, it's really, I think wonderful that she's doing this.
She's inviting Gwen and the cousins, Claire and Chris. And Claire is also Mila's godmother.
And she likes them. Yara likes them. She's like, she said, I really like them. And so Claire's, again, the whole Jovi, she's like, well, Jovi used to be the partier. He would say, let's go drunk. Now he's in bed at 7:30 p.m.
With his change. Yeah,
they're impressed with his change. So,
Did you know? I like Joby's shirt was so cute. I love the distressed parts of it. No. I would totally wear it.
Oh no, you can't start obsessing over him again.
I know.
You got
sometimes
into it, you got out of it.
Sometimes I do think he's attractive in certain lights. And then he opens his mouth and I go,
have you heard, so, we need to share it on Instagram. There's a YouTube person that does 90, a woman who does 90 Day Fiance impressions. And have you heard her Jovi impression?
No.
And the way she does her, oh, someone sent it to us. And I
mean, like, when it sounds like this.
But she does her mouth just like him. It's,
oh,
it's really, yeah, really funny. So, okay. I want to be open to things, and I'm all about, like, trying a different culture. The food did not look appetizing to me, I have to say.
Well, it's smoked fish. It looked like herring. I will say I've had – in Eastern Europe, you find that a lot. And I like caviar. They did do their best to make that fish look – it looked like dried fish as well.
Yeah.
But I will say it is some of Baltic foods can be quite distressing.
Y'all, they lived in the fucking winters and had, yeah, they had to put salt on everything to preserve it. So it's,
yeah. But I mean, it's traditional. There's people, no, who but don't, I mean, like, yeah, yeah. I'll never forget when one of my friends from Michigan, my mother made gravy biscuits with sawmill sausage gravy. And he's like, this is, he ate it. He ate a little bit, but he didn't say anything. He's like, this is disgusting to me later. So, because he, it, and you have a thing like that. So,
well, and also too, a lot of holidays, you would probably speak more than this to me, but I feel like on a lot of holidays, the foods we eat are traditional, and they're often traditional foods that not that just poor cultures ate back many years ago because that's what they had to eat.
Yeah. I you know what, you were talking about goulash last time. Mm-hmm. I actually did. This is how crazy I am and how much of a food nerd I am. I looked it up, why some things are called goulash, and it actually has nothing to do with Hungarian goulash, as you probably know. It has everything to do with what kind of, and it was a cuisine of poverty.
Exactly.
It was
a lot of these, sometimes these, they're eating foods people ate 100 years ago, which, mm-hmm, are not expensive. It's not, you know, duck à l'orange for Christmas. People don't do that. So anyway.
Yeah. We would do a similar spread that we would do at Thanksgiving in my family.
Yeah.
We would usually do either a turkey. Someone would make some type of like fried meat in, or like a grilled meat, possibly pork. I'm trying to think what else. Usually the brothers in the family would bring some kind of like smoked meat that they had had.
We always have smoked ham. That's our Christmas thing, is a ham.
We didn't have. That was weird. You know what? Someone usually would bring a ham, but it wasn't the biggest thing. Usually it was a turkey or a chicken.
We had turkey too, but yeah, we didn't do turkey. We didn't do ham on Thanksgiving, just on Christmas.
But everyone kind of brought their own side dish, and it was that kind of potluck thing because my mother's family was so big.
I'm all about mixing it up though. Hey, Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, like that. When I first moved to LA, my friends that were Jewish, that was the first time I ever heard of somebody going to have Chinese food on Christmas. And I went, well, that sounds wonderful.
Yep, that's what they do.
That's what they do. So anyway, this isn't a 90-day.
You know why? Because the Chinese restaurants are open.
We're open. This isn't a 90-day foodie call. It's regular 90-day. Snap out of it, turtle.
Check out our foodie call.
Snap out of it.
Snap out of it.
Rodney, where are you, Rodney? I just want Rodney and then Brittany to be in the same show. I don't know how we can make that happen,
Mom. They're talking, and Jovi kind of brings up, well, you know, like Miles sleeping with us. Miles, like, you know, what are you gonna do? Miles, I can't do anything because Miles is sleeping with us. She said,
say that, Jovi.
How do you, how do you have mom and daddy time, Sha? How do you gonna have mom and daddy time?
Which I can understand because I make sure we know someone who likes daddy time, and that's Mike from Mike and Natalie. He likes that daddy time.
Daddy!
When he's stroking that pork and beans dick.
Oh, God. That's exactly what it is. Y'all, I'm going to describe it. It is shaved within an inch of its life. There's not a speck of pubes.
And really?
It is definitely a pork and beans dick. Yes.
Mike has no pubes?
You would think it would be like a brambly forest.
Like Saskatchewan, because that's what he
like
is.
Like his beard.
Bigfoot Big Bush.
Yeah. Big Bush. Big Bush is the cousin of Bigfoot. who just walks around with a pubic bush that goes around him like a cloud.
Bigfoot's in Oklahoma, because that's where a lot of people say is. Big Bush is in
the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, Sequim.
And so I like when Yara said to Gwen, "You worry if I serve your son or no?" And everyone freaked the fuck out. I love Yara's sense of humor. It is so bitchy.
Yara was like, "This is weird. I don't get it." And like, I have to say, I didn't like it. Do I think Yara is a bit of an overprotective mother?
Yeah,
I do. But Joey's like,
"You're like psycho mom or something like that." You're like psycho mom.
She was doing the best that she can because you weren't fucking gone. Like, she figured out her way. She probably had her baby sleep in the bed with her because she didn't want to sleep fucking alone.
She needs a lot of latitude. And he's really not, none of them are really giving it to her. This is a thing, you guys. I mean,
she should be handled without love.
Those of you without kids, co-sleeping is a thing that people do with kids.
Yeah.
And my mother would think that was a ridiculous thing. But I have friends who have kids. They do that, you know, and it works for them. I think unlike someone like Robert, they usually try to wean them off when they can play their own video games, like Bryson. they usually try to get them their own bed.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I don't even like my dog sleeping with me in the bed. I like to spread out.
I would not do it either. But I don't usually like another person with me in the bed.
But that's me. That's true. Yeah, after the guy does his business on Poodle.
I have to get used to it.
He's like, "Y'all, now this did remind me. The way Yara kicks out her family is the way Poodle kicks out Tricks."
Yeah, I understood that. "You've been here for 2 hours. What else do you want?
Poodle,
I fed you your Ukrainian Christmas. What are you doing? It's Poodle's bedtime. I just make up an imaginary child."
It's true. I do think Yara should have caved on this because...
I can tell you why.
But because Jovi needed it. But anyway, they're...
Well, here's why. Ain't never been a Cajun party that wasn't all night long.
Agreed.
Mama Gwen and those cousins were going to drink until at least 11 p.m. and they were probably going to stay over.
But... Gwen was right. Gwen was like, "It's 6 p.m. She can go lay down in the bed and we can hang out." And Yara was like, "Well, I don't want to say I'm kicking you out."
This is a cultural misunderstanding. She said in Ukraine, people go eat, then they leave. That's just for especially Cajun culture. But in my family, too, people stay all night long. And especially
if they drove 2 hours, they would stay because you would want the time with them.
Yeah.
They would spend that time with them.
Unless you're my brother and my sister-in-law who start to preemptively leave. Cause my mother's like, "Let me give you this. I need to."
What was your aunt or cousin who started vacuuming? what was that story? Aunt Joan?
My Aunt Joan, Christmas at my Aunt Joan's house once, people were talking and my Aunt Joan got out the vacuum and started vacuuming her house. And my mother went, "Cool. Well, I guess that's our cue." And to this day, she's like, "Remember when Joan got out that vacuum?"
Did she still talk?
She was saying, "Get the hell out of my house."
Did she talk about it the entire way home?
Oh yeah, we all talked about it. It was my whole side of my father's family. Remember when she got out that vacuum? Wow. And yeah, it was something. It was really something.
Love to Aunt Joan. Hope she's doing well.
Love to Aunt Joan. She's kind of bitter these days. Shocking.
Shocking.
A lot of back pain.
Wow. Okay.
So she basically kicks everybody out. And Gwen's like, so you're telling us to leave?
And she's like, well, she's a schedule. Yeah, she's a baby.
Your baby can have one shitty night for scheduling because you're exactly right. She could have gone and laid down with the baby.
Yes.
And she could have gone to sleep. Now, I'm sure they would have gotten loud, but this was a little bit an issue of Yara being intractable.
It was too much. Yeah. And I do disagree with you on one point, at least with friends that I know that have babies. One night that your baby gets off schedule can set your whole week off. So I understand Yara wanted to keep the baby, but it can really fuck things up. But then you follow that up to say the baby could have just gone in the bedroom and gone to sleep and everybody could have stayed in the living room.
Yeah, you check on the baby every 10 minutes or 15 minutes.
I think what we're starting to see, and Joby's just not is not articulated well, because after they leave, did you want to say something?
No, I was going to say, I think taking care of that baby by herself and being in a foreign country by herself and alone was traumatic for Yara. And I think this might be tinged with a trauma response.
I think that's definitely what's traumatic for her. And I think that for Joby, he's just doesn't know how to say this because he keeps saying, I want you to be fun. I want you to be like you were. But what he doesn't know to say, because he's a man and a lot of men have trouble recognizing this, I think what Joby's recognizing and feeling underneath is you're anxious all the time.
Yeah.
Your anxiety.
You're not
level.
Fun.
And this is very common with new mothers. I have a good friend that
you're not fun anymore. We should stay up all night.
Yeah. She was always kind of an anxious person. And then she had her baby and she realized, oh, fuck.
This is
I've got to go to a therapist and get help for my anxiety because this becomes, I mean, I can be anxious sometimes. I can't even imagine if I have a baby. I'm already stressed out about our live shows. When I go to bed and Poodle is still at the bar, where is he going to be 3 hours from now? Like, I'm actually nervous about it.
I'll tell you what, I'm hanging out with your fucking husband who you brought there.
No, you think I nag you, but it's because I love you and I worry about you dying. And then your mother calling me and saying, Matt, I really thought you would have handled that better.
Y'all, if you bring your husband to the live show, don't leave him alone at the bar with me.
No.
I'm going to tell you that now. No, that's just like blood in the water. The title of my third biography, Blood in the Water.
We're horrible, horrible, horrible.
So the next morning, he basically, the topper is, he's like, you're fucking rude, and tells her that. And so she...
Because she needs to understand, in a Southern culture, that is...
Yeah, that's the worst thing you can
very, do. Very, very, very rude.
Yeah, that's one thing. We still talk about when Aunt Joan made everyone leave early.
We would, if Aunt Peggy had done that for when Aunt Cheryl and Uncle Leonard had driven up from Dallas and said, hey, it's time to, because that's about an hour and a half drive.
You have to start leaving, you guys. You have to start leaving 30 minutes before you're ready, because you're going to talk in the foyer or the foyer, if you want to call it. You're going to talk in the foyer for another 45 minutes.
You're going to go outside.
Yeah.
You're going to roll. You're going to hang on your truck bed, listening to crickets. And the kids are going to run around and play outside and be screaming.
And you have to scream at them, Jeremiah, come here. Put your shoes on. Put your shoes on. We are leaving.
Anyway, so I was telling you, so I told the Tandy, I just said, I'm not going to be nice to you anymore if you are not going to give me free toast.
But that's why I go to that diner. We're saying that's a normal thing And for her to kind of stand at the door and say, it's just, that was off-putting for them. And Joby could not handle it. Because I will say one thing, as far as hospitality-wise, it's just something you never do is tell someone they need to leave.
It's not good. It's not good.
Didn't go good.
Didn't go good. So, so they're basically, they're talking about that when Yara says that when Joby came home, there's also, they're just dealing with a lot of new couples thing. When Joby came home, there's no fire, you know, and Joby had to come into, look, Yara is a different person because A, she became a mother, but B, she became a mother by herself. So I bet a lot of her sexual side and sexual identity probably did get kind of pushed to the back burner because Joby wasn't there.
Well, and she even says when you come back from working, you're so tired, or, you know, she's like, do you have side chicks there? And he kind of laughed about it. And
she's like, where did your fire go?
Yeah. So I think she gives you guys, and I'll say this too. We're talking about this couple as they have, they're super problematic and they have lots of issues. This is one of the easiest couples this season. They're kind of the brightest light, really.
Oh yeah. I love watching. You can tell that you can tell that they love each other. I actually think it's very moving how much Joby has changed to really because it reminds me of my brother was that way. He was a party guy. And then he had kids and he became this incredible father.
So they're in New Orleans to buy a crib, you guys. And one of my favorite things in this world are
I got all this, by the way. This is when the thunderstorm came down. And so I lost some stuff. It kind of went on and off.
Unnecessary quotation marks happened. There's a whole blog about unnecessary quotation marks. And what was this sign was like, the baby's room. So there's no reason for this title of this store to be in quotation marks. And it just says, what kind of room is it really? the baby's room. All in quotes. Like, fresh made to order.
So you're telling me it's actually not made to order?
Yeah, that's the thing.
Honestly, if you're going to have a store called the baby's room in quotes, it should be a sex
the
shop.
The baby's room.
It should be a sex shop because it's like baby gets a spanking.
Or you know that place, we just call it the baby's room.
The baby's room.
What do we say last?
We were just, y'all, Poodle was getting his drizzle guard. We had to pause real quick. So every time I've done like 5 towns now, every time I press record, Poodle just starts talking about inane shit. And so then I have to start over. But you know what? They're going to see what I have to put up with.
You know, I just had to wait on you all day. So having it.
You weren't waiting on me. You were waiting on God to get rid of her thunderstorm.
So they're at, quote unquote, the baby's room.
The baby's room.
And there's word art fucking everywhere. Like, everywhere. We are so blessed. Blah. God, y'all, don't subject your baby to word art.
Oh, no. We're going to get pictures now.
Don't do that.
I mean, they can't read. Why is it there?
Exactly.
You might as well put a pic. I had a circus theme when I was a baby. I had circus stuff everywhere. And now I'm afraid of clowns. So figure that out.
But you still want elephant dick. So there you go. So they're looking at these. Y'all, this is a high-end baby store. I got to say this. This is a boutique kids store.
This would be in Pasadena where we're from.
Yeah, it totally would be.
Brentwood.
Brentwood. That's exactly what it would be. So, like, they see a crib, $700. That does seem expensive to me. Maybe it's not.
That seems a lot to me.
And Joey's like, let's just buy it online. It's like, why spend all this money?
Joey, but we don't know. What she's sleeping. It could be so expensive.
And then he just jumps and says, I think we should, like, take trips somewhere. And y'all, I will tell you right now, moms who have babies this young are not ready to leave their baby.
Is she even 6 months yet?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. You can take a trip.
I'm not judging you if you do. I'm just saying moms, if they give you any pushback like that, just let say, you know what, you're right.
I think what you're trying to say, and I think, is let the mom be in the driver's seat. But yep. Again, Jovi says, I keep wanting fun yard, instead of saying, how do I get you to relax? Because you're really right. Anxious and you're
make
really
it about
stressed
her
out.
And not what he wants.
Because I can instead tell of
saying,
you,
I want fun, Yara.
I can tell from the way Yara speaks, she is terrified something's going to happen to the baby all the time. I do.
So my mom can watch her. It's not a problem. We'll like go and have an adventure.
I think her baby anxiety is at like a 9 or a 10, and that's a lot.
I like it when she's like, maybe I am not fun, Yara, because like I have to breastfeed and watch the baby all the time, every 2 hours. So maybe that makes me not fun. I love how she's got a comeback for that.
Yeah. And she's right.
She's right.
She's right.
I think that's the show. We're she only going to do two segments. Yeah, she walks away.
She
walks away!
Oh, y'all, Poodle is hungry, and he just got his Drizzly order, and he's crazy right now. I've got to end this show so he can go fucking eat.
We'll be back next time to talk about the complete disaster that is Tiffany and Ronald. God, this is so fucking hard to watch this season. Andre and Libby, Kalani and Asuelu, and a little bit of Mike and Natalie, and a lot more talk about Mike's jerking off pic.
I will have watched the video before next episode.
I may have to do a dramatic reading of the dialogue.
Uh-oh. Y'all, maybe. We call these people lonely hearts, because aren't we all just lonely hearts looking for love in all the wrong places? Go, Poodle.
Yes. Christmas time is here. We're cooking a whole deer. Got some sausage shy to make. And we're all gonna have a Cajun bake. Yeah! Oh, that's simple.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.